Huh. Okay, well, I guess we're going to have to delete some of our recordings. I've already got them downloaded and saved. I hope we've got enough to record this conference. But this is 2020, August the 15th, Saturday evening, 5 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Charles Stewart. I'm the kind of point man on pulling this conference together. I'm working with excellent, talented others such as Abraham Durand and Lewis Hammond, and a number of good quality other people are circling around us, and we're trying to put together a network of people that are focused on seriously confronting the corruption in government with our constitutionally lawful remedies for that precise sort of a problem. In that spirit, the email I've sent out recently for the invitation here, it contained a number of links that I'm a little bit proud of. The links clearly in the email clearly indicate show documents that show that prior to the Norman conquest, there was a profoundly free and open society in England. Prior to 1066 AD, the Norman conquest, and those links show the documents, and I think there's a Wikipedia link that shows what this very under-recognized event is all about. And immediately following that series of links that describe the Norman conquest and its profound influence in our modern society, especially in terms of common law, immediately following that is another web link that shows a photocopy right out of a page of Blackstone's commentaries, where Mr. Blackstone himself is writing in 1755 or so, maybe 65, that the laws of England, the common law of England, is based upon the Torah laws of Israel. They carried on with the Torah laws of Israel. That's where our common law tradition ultimately comes from, and where that might sound like an awfully crazy, bold statement, Mr. Blackstone specifically quotes the Exodus 18 passage with the organizing of the local communities of tens and fifties and hundreds and thousands. And this plugs into the general theme of grassroots organizing that's being advocated herein, of organizing our townships, which is 10 household community, organizing our precincts, which is 100 household community, and organizing our true de jure common law counties, which is 1,000 household community. And so those are kind of major upgrades. These are like bullet points. And as the invitations are coming, as we're progressing with them, as I'm refining the outreach process, that invitation is also a form of outreach that tells everybody what we're all about. These are the main bullet points, and it's very, very significant to know what the Norman conquest is all about and how the common law tradition took a nasty hit at that point. Basically, the Roman Empire model of government came in and reduced everybody in England to slaves. Magna Carta, 150 years later, was a half-hearted effort at returning to pure common law. The barons liked being out from under the emperor king, of tyrant King John there, but they didn't really want to give up their top-down authority over the local townships and precincts. So they didn't do a complete reversion back with Magna Carta. Magna Carta was a half-hearted effort, as valuable as it is. And so when people comprehend what the really significant event in England was the Norman conquest of 1066 AD. And then they comprehend how that system was derived from biblical Torah laws of Israel. Then that is two extremely powerful concepts to have in the minds of all of our grassroots activists that are coming up to speed on this process, because if they get in debate with religious fanatics or fanatics of any sort, they've got the data to make the big, major point arguments about these profoundly important issues. Yes. So the invitation is evolving, for lack of a better word, to a more efficient style that is putting out the bullet points, there was two main things that I'd like to further draw out, and one of them is that we've fairly well finished both the complaint and the jury verdict in its rough, their rough draft modes. They're capable of being presented to our public here, and Abraham has basically agreed to be the complaining party to move this before our court. He won't be able to sit as a juror, but he can be the complaining party, and that's immensely valued because it's actually the complaint that gives our court jurisdiction. Thank you, Lewis. You're showing the screen share very well. Abraham still needs some more time to review it, to state that he's comfortable. We might need to make some changes there. But that and the juror verdict is now basically done, and people can come up to speed on doing something real rather than talking just metaphysical mumbo-jumbo like a lot of the groups do. We're talking about issuing a jury verdict that's saying that they cannot forcibly inject people with vaccines. If they do, it's an act of war, and we can respond with whatever force is necessary. We're drawing a line in the sand here. And so this is an extremely powerful development, and the web links to it all were in the invitation there. So please review the documents and communicate constructive criticism, and it's entirely welcome. And review the documents as they're being presented. The only other significant thing that I haven't referenced in the invitation here is how the de facto government, federal government, November presidential elections are shaping up, with the fact that we know what the word elector means in manners that they, 98% of them, don't know what an elector is. An elector is a person selected from a common law self-governing community jurisdiction. It comes up from your grassroots. In fact, our townships are composed at the individual grassroots level of qualified electors for the township, and that goes on up the hierarchy. At the next level, at the precinct, the 10 town constables are the electors in the precinct assembly, and at the county level, the next level above the precinct, the 10 precinct captains or justices of the peace judicial officers, they form the county court governing body. And similarly on up to the states would have 12 super counties or however you wanted to calculate it, but there would be basically 12 electors for each state. And in common law tradition, it'll have to be morphed because of the way that our state populations are so not proportionally balanced in terms of population counts. But the in the federal constitution, it clearly declares that the state congressional assembly will choose the president of the United States. They each of the state congressional assemblies chooses the electors, and the electors vote on who each of those states wants to be the president, and then all of those state elector polling process goes to the U.S. Senate, and then they open up the documents, and the Speaker of the Senate counts the votes from all the mailed-in documents and declares who is the winner of the election. But see, that process as it presently functions is all screwed up because the people are not included. Instead, they've got this entire legal fiction voting process with 14th Amendment slave registered voters voting, and everybody's hyped about all of that and worried about mail-in ballots and the post offices getting shut down. And so everybody's pulling their hair out and screaming that some kind of disaster is going to happen because the 14th Amendment slaves aren't going to have their mail-in ballots correctly counted. Well, we don't need to worry about that if we're only focusing on the qualified electors. So that's a real profound thing, and we're in control to tell our state legislative assemblies, look, this is our list of electors of the state, and you can choose from them to decide who our state will declare to be the president of the United States, and at that point, we're in an extremely powerful position to affect the outcome of the November elections here. And there's a lot of different ways it can break, but these November elections are coming at us quick here, and I would like to prompt discussion about that. Because Mr. Biden, I believe, is a terrible, terrible option. And I'm sorry for the Trump fans here, but Mr. Trump, I think, is behind the curve on diligently protecting our common people's rights. So anyway, I don't know how that's going to break. I'm big on building community consensus, and I suppose I could even tolerate Trump if that's what everybody in the conference here insists on. But anyway, those are the main issues that I see as being of priority at this point in time for our group discussion here. And so we've got the two basic things, and I'm thinking there was a third one, but the coronavirus jury verdict, the electors and the election. And from there, just Lewis had up earlier the constructive notice of treason document. Maybe you can pull that up quick, Lewis. There we are. Thank you, Lewis. This document, everybody should be sending this out to every government office holder that they've got any concern with, that they're having any problems with, because this document shows that the Roman Empire model of government is here designed to enslave the common people. And it touches on strongly on where our remedy's at in forming our own self-governing communities under pure common law jurisdiction. But there's another document that really goes into the details of notice of how to form that we are forming our self-governing communities. I think it's in one of the other tabs there, Lewis. It's a notice to, you can give it to your local city and county officers. There we are, Lewis. This shows them, the de factos, the local municipal de factos, exactly what we're doing, and it can go clear on up to the national level and the state level and stuff. And this document puts them on notice that we're taking control here from the grassroots up, and that we will reach a point where their municipal model of government for the city and the county will no longer be needed because the people will be responsibly self-governing in our counties, and basically the city will be abolished because the precincts at that point can handle all the affairs of the city, and what they can't handle, they'll just merge into the county. So those two documents, the constructive notice of treason document and the notice of formation of responsibly self-governing communities document, these are primary documents to be just sending out by email, or just send the web links to your state representatives, your city council people, print them out if you can afford it, whatever seems appropriate, but make a track record. Let people know, because as this coronavirus thing and the military police state's coming down, coming at us, there's going to come a point where we're going to have to talk about armed resistance. And if we've got all this paperwork lined up properly, then they've been notified that they're acting unlawfully and that we've got the right as a member of responsibly self-governing local communities to resist them with armed force. And we need to make the track record in each of our local communities to lay the foundation so that they can't say, well, you're just a crazy, we didn't know. If you think we're crazy, why didn't you respond? Why didn't you tell us we were crazy before you sent the jackbooted Nazis out to try to forcibly vaccinate us? See, we're taking away their color of legitimacy through documents like these and their failure to respond. And of course, we're inviting them to join with us. 90% of these people, they don't know that there's an alternative common law model of government available. They think the Roman Empire municipal model is all that's available. It's what the Constitution says. We can only elect Supreme Court justices. Never. They got lifetime appointments at the federal level. See, that's Roman Empire municipal. That's not organic, accountable common law style of government for selecting judges. And there's all kinds of things there. But so these are the high points that at this juncture in the way this community is developing, and we're on a trajectory here to use common law due process to confront the treasonous conspirators that are trying to reduce us all to slaves. This isn't an intellectual egghead, theoretical, metaphysical mumbo-jumbo conference session here. This is real strategy using lawful process to exhaust the pathway of peace. And you know, hopefully most of these in place public servants will see the light on the wall, see the light and will join with us. And we'll be able to produce very significant changes in counties and cities. They'll convert to common law jurisdiction without any serious nasty confrontation. I think our chances are 80-90% of our local communities can be converted in this manner and become self-governing communities without needing to resort to armed arrest of anybody. But we do need to be prepared for the eventualities in at least some of our communities. So that's kind of a bold outline of where we're at. There's lots of reading material. I encourage people to get into it, to give me feedback about what I'm doing wrong, what can be improved, constructive criticism, and conference with others, your friends. Share this with people in other groups. But if you're really concerned about America, I don't see anything other than documents like these being sent out to the de factos and being given into the hands of our local community activists, because this is empowering to our local community activists, and it puts a shot across the bow for the de factos. It gives them a wake-up call that there's an alternative to their Roman Empire municipal form of government. And at that point, it's game on. You know, we're entering an apocalyptic Armageddon type scenario here, it kind of looks like. And hopefully we can navigate through it peacefully. There's biblical interpretations that say that Armageddon already happened with the Jewish Revolution or something, close to 2,000 years ago, and everything's downhill from there. But we definitely have some work going on here. And we need to buckle our safety belts up, and we need to be lawfully positioned on the chessboard so that we can do battle with the forces of evil, no matter how strong they are, no matter how big of a fight they put up, because they're probably not going to just roll over and release the reins of power to us without some type of serious contest. So that's pretty much my summary introduction here for where we're at and where I encourage people to try to focus their energies on working with me and Abraham and Lewis as we're trying to put all of this together here. And so at that point, Lewis and Abraham, I'd defer to first here and then open up the floor for comments and questions. I yield. Abraham, Lewis?
Well, that was a very, very good commentary, I'll tell you that. I thought it was very expansive, comprehensive, and right to the point. In fact, I think you should start every meeting with an overview of, you know, a revisiting of all the intentions and the directives and the reason why the group has coalesced. You should start every meeting like that, so people coming on, and you'll get more familiar with explaining it, and they will get more familiar with hearing it constantly. So I think taking the first 5 to 10 minutes and overview the whole thing like that is absolute perfect part of the format.
Thank you, Abraham. Lewis, do you have any comments?
Okay. No, I would concur with what Abraham just mentioned. Other than that, I have nothing to add, and I would turn it right over to opening up for the floor and asking if anyone not only had any questions or comments or concerns regarding anything that Charles has just shared, if they've got the invite and wanted to draw attention to a particular link or document within the invite to get clarity or to discuss, now would also could be the time as well. So with that, I yield. Charles.
Abraham Nevada, I would like to make a comment.
Yeah.
Lewis, this is targeted for Lewis. Lewis, that was quite a mouthful of what Charles had to say there, and I would certainly like to pick your mind and your analysis for how certain things may unfold given certain contexts. As Charles stated, sending out notices and coming out with jury verdicts and submitting them to key members to inform them that should they come door-to-door, start kicking open doors and forcing vaccinations on us, and we have notified them multiple times that lawfully they cannot get away with doing that, and Charles makes reference to lawful, forceful resistance after multiple notices and warnings to cease and desist has been extended. I would love to hear how you may comment on what kind of shape and form that may take, and how can you put teeth to that threat so where it's received. In other words, balance of power keeps everybody healthy and safe. That's been the theory throughout the 70s, 80s, 60s, 90s. Mutually assured destruction with the nuclear exchanges. When there's a balance, if the police knew that the people had a fully armed forces equal, if not exceptional to the police hardware, they would not, with impunity, go into neighborhoods and start kicking people's face in if they knew the public had the ability to respond. A balance of power, mutually assured destruction, keeps everybody happy and safe. So my question to you, Lewis, is how would you see that unfolding, and what preemptive measures could we take as a body politic to enlist or solicit those interested parties that could maintain the balance of power should that day ever come?
I think I, in attempting to kind of remain consistent with what Charles just mentioned in those areas specifically, you know, how one would use these documents in engaging, you know, whether it's the local municipality, county, state level, wherever. I think that these are the tools used, you know, to notify the corporation that, you know, what steps you will take in terms of enforcement.
Lewis, would you suggest aligning with your local militia in every state and somehow informing them and corralling them into the fold? Would you suggest contacting like the Three Percenters or the Tea Party or whatever other agencies or organizations outside mainstream political agencies that kind of represent the people wanting to have the grassroots and wanting to be able to force those issues, but they're just, you know, kind of like in the recess for right now? Would you advocate, and I don't want to sound like, you know, kind of pointing a big stick at you, but because I would like to participate in a team of people who would, you know, contact these people who are in the wings and ready to move. They just want legitimacy to move like that. Balance of power keeps everybody safe.
We don't have a consensus of here on Michigan. We are, in fact, very polarized. So there are some that may reach out to those groups. We don't have the same position on many issues. So what I try to do is find those issues that those commonalities, because even and Charles and I have had, and you on some occasions, we've had some conversations regarding my position on the wearing of the face masks. You know, my position on the vaccines, we are, you know, we're in step. I don't even do the flu vaccine, just the basic one. So I'm definitely not going to come out and jump in line for something that's experimental, and knowing what I know at this time. So I try to stay on those within those areas. The other areas, we are, for example, just the other topic that I think he mentioned that was open for the discussion, the November election. I utilize that elective franchise, and my thoughts on utilizing the elective franchise are a bit different from others on this call. You know, some may choose not to use it. Some may choose to obliterate it. Some may simply abandon it and ignore it. I choose to exercise, you know, certain aspects of the elective franchise when I see it to be beneficial for myself and my family.
Okay.
I personally think that, yeah. So that's, I mean, my statement on that, again, we take different positions. I think, again, if someone doesn't want to exercise it, that's fine. I choose to do so, and I think that
without hopping off the hot seat too quick, hot seat quick, what happens if they start kicking in your neighbor's doors with the military outside, needles in the hand, and they start to forcibly vaccinate, and you become witness that this is happening in your neighborhood? Do you go outside and start marching, or are you prepared, you know, how do you unfold something like that to cease and desist and stop that from occurring when you start to notice it in your neighborhood? What do you do?
Well, first, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be, you've got to mobilize within your neighborhood. I've seen it. I've seen that happen. Because, again, I'm in an area that I've seen an exercise, a military exercise of joint agencies, which included the Wayne County Sheriff, sad to say, of the municipal police, the sheriff's department, a military sect that I could not, you know, identify, and it was an exercise. This was 2 years ago. They happened throughout at least three here on Detroit, and they did some other areas of Michigan, and they actually started a fire by mistake in one part of Michigan. So I've seen them actually lock down a 30-block area as an exercise and even stop people from walking down the street. I do know that they can cut off access to, again, the major cities. It's a bit different, as we all know, in some of the more rural areas of Michigan. But the major cities, top 10 most populated, they've got a time frame that most can be locked down within 15 minutes. So it does come, in my opinion, here. This is where my focus is, I think I've shared before, right here organically at the township level, the 10 households that I can call. And I'd like to have 10 more townships so that there are 100. To say that I have on an individual note, oh, my household is good. But see, I grew up like that. That's a family thing. So anyone kicking in any door here is met with equal or greater force, at least initially. Now, how long that's going to go, I don't know. But again, I'm looking for the 10 that I can send out, hey, an SOS to, where they can reach out into that network and mobilize here, and we have some form of protection. Because I've seen what you're talking about. Like I said, it's happened. That's not a something that I have to imagine. It's not abstract. I've seen it. I yield.
Okay.
I'd like to also, again, remind everyone that the floor is open. It's not just a dialogue between Abraham and myself. The floor is open to anyone else on the call. That I yield.
Well, I just want to see your social kung fu there. So let me see if I understood your answer, because you're a force to reckon with on these calls, and you've got the depth and breadth. So you're saying that
one moment, here, Abraham. We've been joined by one I will say participant who I'm not able to identify. Greetings. Would you like to self-identify?
Yes, Rich in California.
Okay, Rich. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Abraham. I yield. Go ahead.
Okay, so Louis, if I understand you correctly, you're saying that you have a small social network of family, perhaps friends, that may be able to starve off a resistance for a very short interim period. But if you were to consider, without trying to shine the political light on anybody adversely, but theoretically, if you were going to map out a strategy, and let's say you were the commander of the Supreme Court of Law, and you were charged with defending the participants of the Supreme Court of Law here, and there might have to be steps that you would mention if the people had several months to try to formulate a strategy on how they could network with other groups that are already, without catching flack from whatever history those other groups have, be able to, solidarity, be able to have commonality, and be able to come, like what was happening in Nevada. Remember Nevada with the rancher? What was it, the rancher where the BLM came in? Odd choice of letters, right? BLM, Bureau of Land Management, BLM, same initials. And what they did was they put a call out to the militia, and you had ex-military come down there and descend on Nevada like airborne. They were all over the place. And the federal forces stood down. They stood down. Now, if they see that the people can seamlessly, intuitively, instinctively respond and are organized enough where wherever they move, there could be a counter move of equal force or greater that could put a measurement there that they could know they cannot, that's the line and you cannot cross, we will not allow it. Just like they did successfully here in Nevada with the rancher. I was here throughout all that. I went to court with these guys.
Yeah, the Bundys.
The Bundys, yeah. I know some of the family members.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's...
Well, I recall that, too. I recall, I was, again, getting those notices initially had a very, very united front, which was very diverse. And then he made some very, very unfortunate statements. He opened his mouth, the elder one, and really lost a lot of support, which was really unexpected because I'd never seen those type of groups come together like that over that issue, and then it just kind of peeled away, and he was left with the, I guess, the original supporters.
Lewis, for a split second there, I had a glimmer of hope that the people stood strong even just for a second in human history.
It did, just for a second, and then he went and opened his mouth. But for a period of time, right there, I mean, that's what happened, you recall. I mean, right first he had a very unified front. It involved everyone. Okay, then comments. Loose lips do sink ships.
Okay, but Lewis, like, let's suppose this thing happened in your locale, right? And some phone calls go out, and within 6 to 8 hours, several thousand people can descend there where they're having their kick the door in policy, and all of a sudden they're met with an equal or greater force, and it would stop. And then the establishment would realize that any place they try to institute that policy, there's going to be communications reached out to the larger masses, and then a pressure point will be established wherever they have the operations unfolding. You don't think something like that is possible? We couldn't organize a think tank to put that together?
I do think something like that's possible. I would look for others to you know, dedicate some time to putting something like that together. Am I on that committee? Would I be one on that committee or think tank? No, that's not for me, but we have others.
You, Lewis, I nominate you.
No, wrong. You see what's on the screen. You see where I'm at. So, I mean, that's where we'll support that effort.
All right, well, I think that without that effort being part of the credible strategy, then anything afterwards cannot be considered credible. If there is no enforcement, if there's no pressure point that can be brought to bear, there's absolutely nothing we can do to follow through with any of this, because without that button, if they could push a button, we've got to have a button to push to. And if we're not strategizing on how, where, when, why that button gets pushed and who responds to it, then I can't see how we can create any kind of traction if we don't have a button.
Abraham.
If I might respond to that, I think that the button might come judicially. I don't plan on that being, you know, that big stick that you speak of, which is why I think corrupt judges are really the issue. So, because outside of, you know, some police unions and some other things, but even with that recent property case here just recently ruled on in the Michigan Supreme Court, it's the Michigan Supreme Court that recognized the common law. And as I'm reading this opinion, they've just smacked the circuit court and the appeals court, just smacked them both down. Said, you're misapplying this. You can't take someone's property because they think owed property tax, sell it and keep the proceeds. And I finally looked up the case that the state, so that's where I think it is. And it's at the circuit and the appeals court are both corrupt levels. You've got so somehow we've got to have access to a venue that is recognizing common law. It's in this opinion like 50 times, and
so
specifically Michigan's common law.
So you're saying that we're within the system to save ourselves from the system.
If I can get in this,
Scotty. How are you? Go ahead, Scotty. I'd like to hear from someone.
I was actually wanted to get in, but I didn't want to interrupt anybody, and then we were saying if anyone wants to join. I missed a little bit of Charles' thing. That was a nice intro. I have to listen back to it. Yeah, I agreed with all that. Then when Abraham spoke after that, a lot that you said I do not agree with, because you just simply left out some of the major people.
If I may, Scotty, could you speak up or closer to your mic? It's really hard to hear you. Dave and the thumb.
Hey, brother. Can you hear me now? I'm right. The mic is right to my mouth. Is it any better?
It's a little better, yep. Thanks.
Okay, that's all I could do right now until I get to work on that. I had other problems this week. I feel that Abraham contributed a teeny bit with what he said, but most of what he said, he was leaving out pieces of the puzzle, and some of them I covered in the past. Did anybody watch the Life Force update? What was the name of that? Hold on. It's the Life Force Launch Part 1, Kim Gogan. The People for the People, I shared it. I think it was last week when the guy was talking about Carl Lentz, or it might have been the week before. But that is something that everybody in this group, what are there, 13 of us, that's what you all need to look at, because any group gets infiltrated. You're lucky getting 35 people before you get infiltrated, no matter what your group is. You're not including the mind control, the information control, and the ability that there's other weapons where even armed people that can use them, which a lot of people that get them don't know how to use. There's a lot of pieces of the puzzle that
Scotty, can you repeat that life force? What was the name of that thing? Life force what?
I'll share it in the chat in a moment. It's Life Force Launch Part 1. It's been going on for a while. It's a little bit of a derivative from Randy Morgan's, who is part of can't think of his name at this moment. They're not. Anyway, it looks like really the finest thing going on right now. I suggest everybody look at it and we'll discuss it. I did try to share it. I'll share it in the chat if it will help. Are you in the chat, Abraham?
Yes.
Okay. I'll share it in a moment when I stop talking, because I'm holding the microphone to my mouth. You can't hear what I'm saying, though? Am I talking too fast?
No, I hear you clearly.
No, we
okay.
hear you.
Okay. There's the mind control act. Now, there's the mind control, like in They Live, the movie They Live, which was turned out to be a document, John Carpenter, with Roddy Piper. There's that kind of mind control, only it's not coming out of only the televisions in the movie. It's coming out of any smart device, self-monitoring, analyzing, reporting technologies. SMART is an acronym, and those devices are connected to AI through quantum computers, and they can outthink and control every move you're going to make. In the 70s, when they came up with a computer to play chess, there wasn't a human on the planet that could beat that machine. Just think of how things have progressed since. When the CIA had computers that can do time travel and age regression and age advancement in the 50s. You're leaving out some pieces of the puzzle of hidden technology, and the fact that the media that controls the information can, in 15 minutes, start broadcasting globally when you're supposedly, you know, armed, whatever, are challenging somebody, and they can take over the narrative that you're trying to do, and you're the bad guy instantly. So I really have full faith in everyone here, and I'm not well-spoken enough to actually go over every part, but you're missing some major pieces of the puzzle. Then, I think I shared this also, has anybody ever heard of The Real V? He's the host of the Red Pill Hardcore show on the RBN network, and he also had made 7 documentaries. The most recent, titled The 5th of November, explains what's going on with the mind control at the nano level with technology that are literally beyond what most people on the surface can even comprehend. This is technology beyond what's in science fiction movies, and it is real. It's nanotechnology, and the ability for these bots to, they can make you kill somebody. They can control you to what you say, what you do. There's unlimited potential for what they can do with these technologies and are doing. It's not just weather control. And then I also mentioned...
Okay, Scotty, so you say we should just be defenseless because the opposing force is so superior, we should just lay down and play dead duck. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to add my 2 or 8 cents. And
okay.
I'm just trying to add a few pieces of the puzzle so you wonderful minds can process it, and then we can address each thing individually. Do you disagree with anything that I said? That the media
absolutely
can't control the media
I'm
in 15
aware of
minutes?
Most of what you said.
What?
I'm aware of most of what you said. Yes, I agree with it.
Okay.
If so, I may. If I may.
One more thing, and let me finish. There's HB 7120 that was passed a few weeks ago that actually is going to start removing these police that we know of for a UN global military police force. So you weren't considering that when you were talking about the police coming in the home. It may not be the police that we think are the police. It may be these UN police. So that's another aspect that we have to analyze, and I yield there.
Okay, Dave and the Thumb here. So is there an? So what you're saying is that everything that came out of your mouth was AI talking? Scotty?
Everything coming out of my mouth. No, I'm not controlled, but I don't have any smart devices, brother.
Okay, so it's the nanoparticles that are in our bodies from the chemtrails that the smart devices control. So when people who have smart devices, like most of the people on these calls, when they speak, it's not them. It's they're being totally mind-controlled. Is that what you're saying?
For the most part, yes. And the movie, The 5th of November, will show you clear as day just some of the potential of what's going on. Yes, I agree with that, what you said. Yes. Most people are mind-controlled. Not only what they say, the energy level they have, the mindset they have, and it goes way beyond. But I can't speak what's shown in the movie. I'll share that with you also. When I put this mic down, I'll start searching for some of those links. I yield.
So you don't have a cell phone?
Yes, I do, yeah.
You do? And is it 4G?
Well, this one temporarily is that I have, but no, I'm working on getting an older one working. But that's a different issue. I had just lost it all week. I just found it yesterday. I had lost it on Monday. But that's a different issue. Yet, it's not so much me. I follow source. I'm not your average Joe. I'm talking about the average population, even some of these high-level people, that the TI individuals I'm talking about. There's all different levels of the technology. I'm a targeted individual, not from the CIA. I'm targeted from the low-life police that were from 2005. Now the police today are not the same police from 2005. It's hard to even compare them at all. It's almost like comparing a cartoon to real life. However, it's not about me. I am connected to Source, and I follow Source, and I never fit in on this planet. It has nothing to do with me. I'm talking about what I have been working on and doing here, which is just I'm just a small piece of the puzzle. I was just trying to talk about the larger picture and some of the pieces of the puzzle that Abraham didn't cover. And also one more point, and I'll yield. There's a very similar document as to the treason notification that Charles is talking and showing. It's by Kate Shemarini. She's from the UK. She goes by the natural nurse in a toxic world. She has a similar document, notice of treason kind of thing. Very similar. I will try to find that link, too, so you can analyze that and compare it to your document, Charles. Okay, but hers is for the UK, and it's very same principle as what you're doing, done from another person. So I yield there.
Can I respond real quick? Charles here. I want to thank Scotty for his comments there. I think Scotty's kind of focusing on the problem, and while it's useful to at least regularly, briefly focus on the problem, I think the majority of our conference should be focused on the solutions, and I don't think. Pardon me.
Amen.
Thank you.
That's what the Life Force video does. Please review that, and then we'll talk, and you'll see. There.
I reviewed it after you sent me the link by email, Scotty. I want to thank you for that. Those people are movers and shakers in our general movement, and I would encourage others here to look at it also. I am a little bit troubled by the fact that they're hiding some of the information, and they're charging money to release all of their information to their people. I think that's behind the curve and understanding the spiritual side of this battle, but it does sound like there's a lot of good people involved there, and I would hope to network with them also soon. I yield.
If I may.
Michael?
Yeah, Michael in Southwest Florida. I would like to just say that everything Scotty said was interesting, valuable, and it has merit. But We in this movement, the resistance, have been discussing the symptoms for many decades, and it's beyond that now. We have many symptoms we could talk for years about, but the time has come, the hour of urgency has arrived, and we must talk about solution and traction and not just be the public hamster wheel spinning and going nowhere, talking about symptoms. That needs to continue. We must talk about the symptoms. I am not saying that there is no value in discussing and dissecting the symptom, but we must put our focus, our united focus, must be on remedy, redress, and solution. I yield. Thank you.
If I may respond to that.
Go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I was trying to get to the solution, but it was a lot to get out. The life force is a solution. That HR thing that passed, 7120, I think it was the number, that actually does give a solution. What's going to happen is truly the police are going to get defunded. They have already started defunding them. That means that they've been replaced by a different police force. They're going to be fired. That means they lose their immunities. That means if we start filling out paperwork, because that's what the pen is mightier than the gun in this day and age when they have technology that can take out your gun from the air, okay? We're going to have the opportunity to go after these police officers, what they did on the job for trespass, harm, and injury, and we can go after them and their families and their assets. That's the door that's opening. We have to start writing the complaints and the claims now. We have to put it in writing now, and that will gather people together because there's victims everywhere you look that would love to make a complaint against some, you know, masked marauder following color of law. So I am trying
Scotty.
To get to the solutions. I yield.
Who is the people that are making the decision to defund the police and replace them with somebody better?
Hold on, I gotta put my glasses.
What?
I found that from, it was a George Webb and Harry the Greek and John O'Loughlin from brassballs.blog. And that HB 7120 lets the UN police force have carte blanche. So, and it's already going on in 46 cities, I think, in the U.S., and also it's globally. So they've already defunded some of police, the New York police. So as the police do lose funding and it progresses more and more and the UN police take over, more and more of the what we knew as the police are going to get defunded. And when they're defunded, they lose their bonding companies and they lose their immunity and they lose their blue wall of silence because they're all going to be open for prosecution and for going after their assets. Yeah, so
Scotty.
I don't know. That's where I found it. I don't know who passed it. It's very long and complex, but that's like the summary of what it's doing. I yield.
Well, it sounds very problematic. It sounds like it's either the UN that's going to replace these police officers or some other group like Trump's military tribunals. When you compare that with what we're trying to promote here, of common law self-governing communities controlling all of this and taking the power away from the police, I think we're miles and miles and miles ahead of anything that's coming out of the sources that what you're referencing there, sir.
Okay, that's fine. I have no disagreement with, and I concur with what you're saying. In fact, I think there's going to be more bad to it than good, but that's, I'm just pointing out one of the good aspects. The police are going to be what we know of the police as of the police now. They are going to be less vulnerable. That's all I was pointing out, and that is a solution.
And he wants to go after them guys. That's what he's talking about.
I yield.
Is that Dave?
Yeah.
I think we've got some background. So since we don't mute everyone, if everyone can be mindful and either use star 6 to mute yourself, and again star 6 to unmute. Okay, no worries. I yield. Charles.
Yeah, thank you all. Thank you, Scotty, for raising the issue of that the other group that Scotty's going to web link the video to, very informative video. And again, I encourage people to take a look at it. These people are players, but keep in mind, John Duresh is a player with his National Liberty Alliance. There's all kinds of groups that are out here that are doing things different, that don't seem to be capable of focusing on solutions to the problems, like Michael so well emphasized. Thank you, Michael, for your clarity that we need to be focused on the solutions, the remedies to these problems. And at that point, the problems that is traumatizing everybody, inspiring fear, those will begin to dissipate. If we hammer away our focus on godly, righteous government, we emphasize it, we empower it, we bring it into the light, we drag the creatures of darkness into the light, and they will either find Jesus and embrace honorable, righteous government, or else they will go scurrying back into their holes and never bother us again. And that's exactly what we want. There's a lot of potential, and we're all a little bit stressed here, and these conferences are valuable, and we all like to have an influence here. I think it's important to pass the microphone around and to kind of keep track of who's been talking the most, and when people reach a certain threshold of talking so much and nobody else has talked, it's like the Indian talking stick. You got to give everybody a reasonable chance to talk. And if they're bringing up goofy ideas, respectfully inform them that they're bringing up goofy ideas and why. But try to keep the conversation focused on positive sides, on doing the remedies. We're talking about, oh, gee whiz, if you're using a cell phone, you're under mind control. That's not a good constructive choice of words, where I'm using a cell phone right now, and I'm not under mind control. I'm sorry. But please try to be positive. Try to be constructive. Try to focus on the remedies. It is good to briefly discuss the problems, to put the crosshairs on it. And once you got it figured out, then spend the majority of our time talking about how we're going to engineer a remedy, so that when we confront the problem behind the crosshairs, the target, we can do that with minimal chance of a breach of the peace, of any type of bloodshed. We want to avoid that at all costs. Well, not at all costs, but we want to exhaust the pathway of peace with the criminal class that is presently destroying America. And only after that pathway of peace has been fully exhausted should we be considering resorting to posse comitatus, armed resistance to the evil that's coming at us. At that point, I would yield for comments. I yield.
Hi, it's Autumn.
Hi, Autumn.
I actually just sent you and Lewis both email links to the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. The email combines a very good interview with Sheriff Mack of Arizona. He stood up for our gun rights in Superior, SCOTUS, and he won. And he has a website for everything we're talking about to do with our local law enforcement. These are constitutional links. And I don't know how all this internet screen stuff goes. I can't even log in. So I don't know how. I'm non-techie, okay? So I wish you guys would put that in your screen share, because this is a great resource. It's not for local, just for law enforcement. It's for us to join. He has a website, and the first link is the video. He's being interviewed. It's very impressive, and we do have sheriffs that have developed a resource for we, the free people, constitutional-minded people for your state resources. It's a guidance, and it's a website to join that they will help us. And I'll yield with that. If you could look in your email, I know you guys are busy right now, but if I'm requesting, could you please put that on screen share for everyone?
Thank you, Adam. I've talked
to
Sheriff.
Give me a moment.
Mack.
I'll take a look.
Okay. Thank you, Lewis.
Go ahead.
I've talked with Sheriff Mack before, and he's generally pleasant, easy to get along with, and he seems like he's inclined in our direction. But he didn't seem to comprehend that how massively the executive power is decentralized down to the smaller peace officer community jurisdiction of the town constables, and he's been in he's had some criticism from some Amish people that were involved in a case where some Amish herbalist was getting railroaded off into jail. And the Amish didn't want to take no lawyers. And Richard Mack was apparently yelling at him to take a lawyer. And those of us that are kind of up to speed on what lawyers are all about, like bar member attorneys is a more accurate term for what I'm referencing here. And Mr. Mack is if that hearsay is true, then Mr. Mack is seriously behind the curve in comprehending the problems with lawyers. And I've talked to him before about the town constables and stuff, and he just goes, yeah, and he goes on to other things. Like so many people, there's a lot of people, you know. I've talked with a lot of people, and it seems that a lot of people just don't have eyes to see and ear to hear. They may have good hearts. And that's kind of what I like to believe about Richard Mack and a lot of other people. But it's going to have to be those of us that have eyes to see and ears to hear that are going to put this together and get it off the ground and running. And then they'll jump on our bandwagon after we engineer it, because we've got the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the mind's the mental framework picture to comprehend what this larger battle is really all about in terms of serious common law empowerment, and they'll jump on our bandwagon. It's a waste of our time and energy in 99% of the cases for us to go try to join with them.
Yeah, thanks, Charles. This is Dave in the Thumb. I just want to, you know, jump on your bandwagon there. I've never spoken with Sheriff Mack, but I got to tell you guys, I'm legally blind, and I do have some vision. I get a bad read on Sheriff Mack, and I've talked to a lot of folks that place a lot of faith in him and have met with him, and he does not believe in we the people. He believes in a strong government and, you know, the corporate government. And remember, every sheriff's department in this country is a corporation. So their first alliance is to their corporate dictators. So I agree with what you said, Charles. Let them follow us. I yield.
May I? This is Mike. Yes. In Florida. Yeah, I would echo what Dave and the Thumb just said. However, I have met with Sheriff Mack and spoke with him directly about the common law grand jury being revived. And he has no interest in that. And I would agree with Dave. He is a corporate player. I think it's out of ignorance, though. I think for the most part he does have a good heart. I didn't get any bad readings of, you know, illegitimacy when I met with him. But these people, you know, are entrenched in establishment thinking. You know, many of these people are college educated. And they get their initial brainwashing there, and it gets galvanized. So the longer they live, the more galvanization they encounter with their establishment thinking. So we've got some real tough nuts you know, to break. And I think with continued education, and as the lady said, their website and their information does have merit. It does have value. And there is a baby in that bathwater with the Peace Officers Association that MAC has created. If you remember recently with the Second Amendment Sanctuary Movement, it was many of these sheriffs that were out in the front and center were part of the Sheriff MAC sheriff organization. One of the sheriffs had even proposed creating a posse to, you know, protect the Second Amendment in their county. Another had proposed creating a militia. So there is some outside-the-box thinking among some of these sheriffs. They're not all establishment thinkers. So I would strongly recommend adopting the organization, you know, promoting them, but with a guarded, with guarded attention. I would basically promote them, but also continue to ask the tough questions among those who ask and among those who are part of the organization. Mr. Mack needs to be confronted with his opposition to a common law grand jury being revived. I think it would be valuable for us to be engaged with them in dialogue. I yield. Thank you.
If I may comment on Mack.
Go ahead.
My history, I don't remember where or who, but also confirmed that Sheriff Mack also was compromised at some point. They went after his health, I believe. It was many, many years ago. But I just want to point out, when I first got into this, it started with a YouTube video, one dude. Then it came up Mark Stevens, which he was the guy that taught me you could ask you can ask them questions. And then came Carl Lentz. And then I met Charles because he was the only guy to challenge Carl Lentz. And now in hindsight, Carl Lentz stuff is going to get you in trouble. He's the greatest guy. I still speak to him. I still speak to what used to be his partner in the beginning. And, I mean, just with this COVID stuff, we're back and forth. However, I have to unlearn a lot of what I learned from him, and a lot of it I retain. But most people can't differentiate between this is good and this is a real solution, and this is going to get you in trouble. I'm still having trouble. I write like Hemingway now with no periods and no punctuation. I'm still trying to unlearn some stuff from Carl, but I still recommend him to beginners. He's like great, you know, to get started. He's also very enlightened, but he does it for the money, according to his partner. His partner, Greg, was really the brains behind it. And then when he got too smart for Carl, they had to split up. But the deal is, then I found that National Liberty Alliance, and I was really amazed. And I learned a lot. I really am impressed. There is information there if you can decipher. This is going to make you a sovereign citizen, and this is a part of a solution. Most people don't have the ability to do that. But after I spoke to that man, whatever his name was, Charles said, on the phone, I spoke to him about 20 minutes. After speaking to him for 6 minutes, I knew he was a shill. Okay, I spoke to the man over the phone, and I'm a visionary, and I am connected to Source, and I got every alarm went off. This guy is wasting your time. He's controlled. And proof of it, he's still there today, okay? That was years and years and years. He was doing the mandamus against a judge. About one out of 100 mandamuses are proven effective, and there's some... That man puts out some good information. He's controlled opposition. End of discussion. Just like Sheriff Mack was taken over at some point. Just like Carl Lentz was taken over at some point. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, started out real. Once they get you, and it comes down to these technologies, you're incorrect in thinking that if you have a smartphone, you're brain controlled. There's a whole other aspect of it that you're not looking at. You're only going to get a little glance of it from the 5th of November. He tried to simplify that. It gets way high-tech. You learn about nanotechnology, and every law and everything they ever taught us, from electricity to gravity, is some BS, okay? When you learn how the universe, the plasmatic universe works, then and only then will you see what's fake and controlled by the corporate structure and the money and the powers that it has, and you'll see what gods we are and what we're connected to, okay? There's many levels that you have to get up the ladder before you can see what's real and what's some BS. So I'm not saying bad things about these people. I still recommend Carl Lentz to some people all the time. I don't know if they go and listen to him, but I'm speaking from my experience and my perspective, and I just was put on this planet. I'm just figuring it out now what my purpose is. I think I'm here to help those caught in the system, like the good police, that their hands are tied. And when they get more vulnerable now with what's going on with this defunding, and a lot of them are going to get fired, and there'll still be some of them, I might be there to help them to get right and to get on the right side of the universe instead of the wrong side. So I'm not well spoken like a lot of you amazing people, and I'm gifted to have found you and share what I do, and I reserve the right, if I get new and better information, to change my perspective and my opinion entirely and my belief. But yes, people get compromised and get controlled in many ways. Sometimes it's not that they buy you out, it's that they have some dirt on you, which is what I think happened to Trump. It seems to me like... Go ahead.
Thank you for your contribution, Charles. I would yield the floor to you to redirect. We've got about 43 minutes of recorded call. Perhaps that's a conversation that might continue after the recorded portion of the call. I yield.
Thank you, Lewis. Yes, Scotty. I think a lot of the issues you're raising there, Scotty, are off topic from what the main business portion of our conference here is focused on: building our remedy, organizing our self-governing communities. And a lot of what you're talking about there is presenting interesting metaphysical bigger picture, and talking about the problem a lot. And we can do that after the first two-hour business session is done. But I think we need to be a little bit disciplined in maintaining a constructive focus here during our official business meeting. Thank you for your contribution there, Scotty. Is there anybody else in the group here that might like to focus the discussion on building our responsibly self-governing communities? I yield. Anybody? Okay. If I might, Scotty mentioned, I think, targeted individuals. This is another group that is actively organizing, and because they're trying to address a specific problem. But it seems like a lot of the leadership in those groups are just trying to draw attention to the problem, but they don't have any remedy. They don't have any solution to the problem. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And Kathy O'Brien's book on MK Ultra Mind Control, Transformation of America was the name of her book, talking about inducing trances in people under mind control. We've got a lot of these kind of problems, and there's people that have spent their whole lives researching the nature of different areas of the problems. And that's valuable. It will plug into the cosmic chessboard once the real game starts unfolding. But we need to position our pieces, our responsibly self-governing community leaders, on the chessboard. until we have people in positions of leadership that are willing to assume the common law jurisdiction authority, judicial power, for smaller leadership communities, we're going to continue to be hurting. And I think in the general outline that the summary that Abraham nicely agreed with how I did earlier, another issue that deserves to be on our summary points is we need people to volunteer at least temporarily pro tem to fill the position of a judicial officer, common law jurisdiction, for each of the 12 super states that America is being politically subdivided into, like Lewis just brought up on the screen, the map there. That's 12 individual jurisdictions that can each be the source of a juror for the Supreme Court of Law. And the coronavirus complaint that Abraham's bringing before our court here, the jury verdict that's in accompaniment with therewith, it's rough draft. It still needs to be affirmed, but people that are serious about taking our country back, thank you, Lewis, you're bringing up the jury verdict and the complaint there. People that are serious about taking our country back, we need you to stand up and take a position as a leader, a spokesperson, a voice of the people, the responsible, self-governing, qualified electors in your super state, and to affirm that it is your view that before God, however you conceive him, that the responsible, qualified electors of your super state are unanimous in supporting this criminal complaint and this jury verdict. And once we got 12 super states all affirming basically that, then we're in a position to claim to be speaking for the people of the United States of America in an organic manner, because we're accountable to the political subdivisions, the smaller states and the super counties underneath us. We're subject to immediate recall. All of our positions are only temporary pro tem. It's organic process. And when we finally get together and build a consensus and we speak unanimously and it doesn't change over a period of time, that means that it really is the voice of the fully informed people. And this is where our empowerment comes in. And no doubt it is grassroots bottom up, and we must focus on building our smaller self-governing communities at the township, precinct, and county level locally. But people learn by example. And at a national level, those of us on this conference that are up to speed, have eyes to see and ears to hear, please follow the lead of, or at least consider following the lead of the people that have studied this common law traditional process. Abraham, Lewis, myself, others that are coming up to speed quick here, follow our lead and looking if you see any problems, and look at the jury verdict and the provisions. There's nothing in there that should sound wrong or goofy or subversive or like it's going to blow up in your face. And if that's the case, if you're comfortable with it, go ahead and be a little courageous and say, well, I'll be a common law juror for my super state temporarily, just to sign on to this and to give us 12 juror verdicts, so that once we got the 12, then we've got Seventh Amendment authority. And when we've got Seventh Amendment authority, we are the Supreme Court of Law for the United States of America. We're the highest authority. We can override presidential executive orders. It's judicial review. Executive orders only function in the absence of judicial process. So please consider what we're presenting to the public here carefully. And if you are of a more courageous mindset, you're serious about confronting this evil, we've got a traction point for you. We've got an empty chair on the inner circle of the Supreme Court of Law for the people of the United States of America here, and you're welcome to occupy it until somebody else from your jurisdiction challenges you, or there's a few other ways that you might be challenged or something, but generally speaking, this is a glorious thing that we're on the edge of. It's got a tradition going back to Bible times, and it's government by consensus. It's not majority rule. This is a paradigm shift away from the Roman Empire, evil empire model of government. So please consider carefully the proposition of throwing in with us, joining with us, support us. Look at the documents, especially the complaint and the juror verdict document, and if you can support it, please let us know. So that we can start doing stuff to put paperwork, to put shots across the bow of the de factos, to let them know that they can't do this forcible vaccining of us. And by the way, we're laying the groundwork in the complaint there. We're also naming the Federal Reserve bankers. We got to take the control of the economy back. We got to put people back to work at the grassroots level. Once at the township and precinct level, all of the local economies will be immediately strengthened and empowered once they have their own alternative banking and currency system in their individual local communities. This has the power to wrest control away from that Federal Reserve banking system, and it don't matter whether they concede or they don't concede. Once we get people comprehending what kind of power is at their fingertips, if they just sign the qualified electors registration form and start throwing in with us, once we get a critical mass of people, there will be no turning back. We will have godly righteous government come to these United States of America, and the bad guys won't be able to do a darn thing about it. I yield.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
May I?
Yeah, please, yes.
This is Mike in South Florida. We have a situation down here that's kind of a micro example of what's happening nationwide. We've got a strong conservative retirement community here, and they are very concerned about their safety. And many of these people fear what the government is doing and where it's going, the direction it's going. So in the last several weeks, we've been holding town hall meetings. A gentleman has donated his building for us to use. Seats about 1,000 people. It's quite professional. It has sound system, internet capability, Wi-Fi, all the bells and whistles, everything you would ever want for a public meeting. So we have quite a perfect scenario. And in these gatherings, the crowds have numbered 50 to 65. And by the end of the evening, when we start talking about remedy, redress, and solutions, it slims down to about 20 to 25. And those that are left at the end of the evening are very serious, they're very concerned, and they want remedy, redress, and solution. They are done talking about the symptoms. They are done talking about the problem. And they want protection, and they want resolve and remedy with the government. They want their voice heard. So what we're witnessing, I believe, and if anyone has an opposing view, I would love to hear it, but I think what we're witnessing down here is, and they're mostly retired people, a lot of military retired here, we're witnessing a natural, organic resistance that is being created by the reality of tyranny being manifested. with this COVID-19. It's in their face. They see it, they taste it, and they know it is happening. And more people every day are not buying it. So we have agreed in principle in this group to start forming a sort of neighborhood protection organization, a rapid response team. And we're not calling the police. That's not what it's about. They might if they're a victim and Antifa or BLM is, you know, in their front yard protesting at 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's what they promised to do, BLM and Antifa. They're more concerned about getting their neighbors immediate rapid response to protect them and to put down this tyranny by, you know, these rogue elements. So I'm saying all that to say this. I really believe that our focus at this stage in the game should be to get people in the door at meetings, at assemblies, at town halls, where we can begin to start rubbing elbows, shaking hands, looking each other in the eye, and conveying the message of urgency. And then, once we get the people in the door, you know, 25, 35, 45, whatever it is, you know, when those numbers start manifesting, I think that's when, you know, in our county level, we really then need to start organizing, you know, within our own local level and start our own conference calls with our own county. Right now, we're doing a regional effort. We have 3 or 4 counties that are showing up at these meetings that are all adjacent counties, and mostly from our local county of Charlotte, but we're also getting Sarasota County, some Manatee people, and a few DeSoto County people. But in thinking about all this, we have come to the conclusion that right now it's more important conveying this urgent message to get people to sit down with each other, discuss what is happening, and develop consensus for resolution and action. Consensus for action. Because just a couple people getting consensus is not going to float. The masses are going to look at that as just, you know, another mob or another faction, another variation of tyranny. But when you start getting numbers that are saying the same thing, then the critical masses will pay attention and listen, and rightly so. I yield.
May I?
If I may. Go ahead.
This is Gary of Nevada.
Gary.
Yeah, I would like to, something that I kind of push is for people to read the Bankruptcy Act of 1933. And like today, we did on our radio show, we did the Silent Weapons for a Quiet War. All people should read that to see where all these two things show the conspiracy of these elites. And also, for military people, should also read War is a Racket. These are the three things I push to try to get people to see what is going on, why they should get involved, where the conspiracy really is. And I yield.
Thank you, Gary. If I might respond a little bit more directly to Michael's words there. Michael, we've got documents that I don't think I've discussed with you before that Lewis is very familiar with, and so is Abraham. These are the oath of office for qualified elector. Qualified elector is really an office, and so is our town constable, and so is our justice of the peace judicial officer at the precinct level. I think a lot of what you were talking about there with organizing your people and your local grassroots communities, I think there will be that these oath of office forms will provide traction points for people to solemnly affirm that they are prepared to carry the duties. There's duties involved in being a member of a responsibly self-governing community. There, the older terminologies and books called it burden holders. You're similar to stakeholders. They're people that invest the time and energy necessary to form a responsibly self-governing community, and it all starts at the grassroots with the individual qualified electors. And we've got forms for, it's a two-page document, it's on our web pages there, and I should have that in the invitation, so that next week's invitation I'll try to include those three oath of office forms so that people can know about that too, because that's the traction point where we get people's phone numbers and email addresses so that when there are local problems, the local community organizer at whatever level, county, statewide, can knows of people that he can call that are all, that have affirmed by signing on to the document that they're serious about carrying duties to bring about responsibly self-governing communities to take control and to stop this evil that we're confronting. I think that will provide traction points, nuts and bolts, tangibility to our efforts. And when it's done within the Exodus 18 model of tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands, then we've got machinery of government, common law jurisdiction, to work with to bring about these changes in tangible, meaningful manners. I know you've just come across our group here recently, Michael, but you're coming up to speed quick, and that seems like a major area that I've overlooked communicating to you, and I'll try to get those web links out to you here this evening later, and at that point I'll yield.
Charles, if I may.
Lewis, yes.
Yeah, along those same lines, I was headed that way with in response to Abraham. For those that were on the call and remember Abraham and I dialogue earlier, he says, well, it sounds like he's got some family and friends. Well, we have qualified electors here as well. So a qualified electors here in Wayne County would also be among those people that I would reach out and notify if under personal household attack. So I wanted to, and I also think that's an excellent idea, you including those documents for next week's call, and perhaps with enough time that people will have an opportunity to review the documents, formulate any questions, and that could actually be screen shared and covered on this call. I yield.
If I may, Charles, Pam in Michigan. So I think they've perfected this so much that now it's to a point where, you know, people are getting fined if they are not wearing one of these cover-ups. And I think that's pathetic, because before you were able to at least know which ones, you know, believed in this or not. Now, you know, everyone has to pretty much cover up or they're going to get a fine. If you're able to, you know, communicate with people that you know that are interested in stopping this insanity, that's where you have to start. But the other ones are now, they're just kind of like, oh, out of compassion I have to wear, or out of, you know, so I don't get fined, I have to wear this. I think it's a big cover up, and I think it's wrong. So I thank you for this call. Appreciate it.
Abraham Nevada, I would like to respond to Michael in Florida. Hello?
I don't
yes,
know if
go.
Charles. Charles, are you muted?
I'm open.
I'm not hearing you. Okay, there
I'm
you
open.
Abraham
go
Nevada,
ahead,
I wanted to respond to Yeah, to Michael in Florida. Am I muted?
No,
we can hear you, Abraham. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Michael, right on point, right on target. If you wanted to put together a think tank and explore other avenues of recruitment with the right mindset, so that this way you don't have to go through a lot of sifting and bringing people up to speed. You want to try to attract as many people who are already up to speed as possible. And having a mechanism, like I referred to earlier, the button, you know, to push that button when you have people that need to be responded because there's an urgent call for self-defense. You know, to have the right to carry a firearm, you know, the Second Amendment, you know, for the defense of your life should not just stop with you. It should be community oriented, you know, that the community, anybody has the ability to push that button, and a small team of well-trained people should be able to show up to defend people. Not just one person with a gun in a corner to defend against the mugging, but how do you defend against the community of authoritarians? So, yeah, I'm 100% up that alley.
Hear, hear. May I?
Go ahead, Mike. You've got the floor.
Okay, thanks. I just had to say here, because that's what it's going to take. We, you know, yes, we need documentation. Yes, we need structure. But as I tried to illustrate, at least here in my immediate neighborhood, my three-county region, we are getting feedback from the people that they are concerned to the degree that they feel a neighborhood rapid response team is needed. And we have even drafted up documentation, basically an oath affirming that, you know, so-and-so, whoever signs it, agrees to participate and, you know, defend lawfully to protect and, you know, provide assistance to anyone that is in need of it. So the fact that this is now happening, you know, naturally occurring, is a great sign. I think the time has come that we begin an effort within our own communities to start the dialogue, the discussion among you know, members of our community to outfit and equip ourselves for such a purpose and time as we find ourselves right now. So, you know, a year or two ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, you start talking about this type of thing and you're looked at as, you know, dangerous, wacko, conspiracy, gun nut. But that has all changed now, and we are in favorable territory, and I think that we really need this immediately to occur rather than later.
Mike, neighborhood watch on steroids, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
Yeah, and the people have demanded.
Mike, I have a lot of experience in that arena. I'm a security professional, you know, hardware, software, surveillance, reconnaissance, those kinds of security techniques. And I've worked a lot with the rapid response teams, ADT, and many other, you know, home security systems that had, you know, rapid response attached to them. So I'm quite aware of the dynamic involved and the materials and the hardware that are involved. Just that's my background. Okay. I'll yield.
Very good.
Charles, are you here? Still open? Mike?
Yes. Thank you. I'm sorry I was distracted here. Was there a question for me or anything?
No. Abraham just and Mike have both yielded the floor.
Okay. Thank you. I was hoping to build on Michael's concerns over local community activists that are ready to respond. When you comprehend how the township community is supposed to be organized, and it would probably be good to do some word searches in Florida statutes and constitution about the word constable. That's a very powerful word. But that township level community of 10 households is frequently larger than 10 households. You can draw a big circle of 30 houses or 50 or 100, but if you can get 10 people to sign the qualified electors document therein, then you've got a township community, and the other people may or may not come up to speed later, but at least you're starting out with a township community that has authority to elect their own town constable for that jurisdiction. And at that point, you're positioning yourself legally on the chessboard. And the lawyers and the judges have no legitimate right to contest the jurisdiction of a town constable unless there's serious procedural errors, and it's a pretty simple process. There shouldn't be any procedural errors in what we're putting together here if we're helping you. And so when you have your own town constable elected for your own community and at least a couple of qualified electors ready to affirm that that's a town constable, then at that point, your town constable has authority to vaporize, to declare null and void all local city ordinances, all kinds of regulations, everything, except a full-blown criminal complaint. That has to go to the next level of a justice of the peace judicial officer at the precinct level. But the power really is at the local level of the town constable, and this is how. See, with all due respect, Michael, what you're engineering there is not dismantling. It's not taking the color of legitimacy away from the local de facto municipal government. And that's a fundamental part of the battle that we're facing here is they need to contract as our responsibly self-governing communities expand. You see, it seems to me like what you're talking about organizing there is similar to a neighborhood watch association. Those things have been created, I believe, by the lawyers. They know what the common law jurisdiction township community is all about. But, and it's a natural instinct. Well, gee whiz, why can't our local people just take care of most of the problems here? It's a natural instinct, and the common law remedy builds on that natural instinct. But they're by neighborhood watch associations where you call the police when somebody in the neighborhood has a problem, that that takes the energy away from the responsibly self-governing community, and it empowers the local Roman Empire model municipal police department, and that's exactly what they want. Because I hope that's comprehensible. And so please consider carefully and try to find the Florida statutes and constitutional provisions that reference that town constable, because I know it's there. It's common law. Common law is in all states except perhaps Louisiana. And so this is fundamental bedrock constitutional law. We shouldn't – well, I'm becoming redundant, I think. I better yield there, but we've got a lot of power at our fingertips. I just want to emphasize if – we follow the common law model. I yield.
May I, Mike in Florida? just in response, Charles, the neighborhood watch groups we're planning to organize are not modeled after anything that has recently been done. It's being modeled after a county militia or a county committee of safety, where citizens are organized and structured in such a way that when a neighbor needs help due to tyranny or pirates or whatever, an alert can be made and help will be provided. It doesn't have to have a name, constable or anything like that. It just has to have organization and structure. And in the state of Florida, constables are part of the Constitution, but it's part of the de facto. It says here Florida special constables are a part-time voluntary police officer. They are sworn, warranted police officers, and similar to the Florida context, they have the same warranted police powers and the same or very similar uniform and equipment of a regular paid police constable. That's dated December 19, 2018. So my fear is this. If we start calling ourselves constables, we will find ourselves being charged with simulating law enforcement, just like we've been charged in various states with simulating a legal process. The same could be done if we try to call ourselves sheriffs or constables or anything like that. I have a real concern that it could entangle us with the tyranny of the de facto unnecessarily. And I think it's a really big concern that we should have. Not out of fear, but we're far more valuable free and out of jail than we are in jail. And I think everybody knows someone that's in jail that shouldn't be, and if they weren't, they would be far more valuable. So I'm just putting this out there, food for thought. I'm not dictating anything, but just offering it as food for discussion and consideration. I yield.
If I may, Lewis, I'd like to respond directly to what Mike just mentioned.
Go ahead, Lewis.
Okay, Mike, I agree with you 100%. I'm familiar with that simulating a legal process or simulating a legal proceeding. And the gentleman that, following the suggestion of the NLA group, ended up arrested and in jail. And as you mentioned on one of the prior calls, I think he died in jail. Terry Tressel, I believe. But I think what you point out is a very good point, though, that everyone needs to research that fact and their state constitutions, because I was unaware of the Office of Constable on Michigan. I knew I was aware of Justices of the Peace and, of course, Sheriff, but I was unaware of constables until Charles brought it to my attention. And I did actually go back and research the history of the office, and every township was actually required to vote in a township constable up until here in Michigan, until about 1950. They just removed it as if it never existed. And it existed all the way up to the period of time. So here, those offices of constables and the de facto has a version of Justice of the Peace, which is different than the original Justice of the Peace. Those offices here on Michigan have actually been vacated, and they still exist. So there in Florida, obviously, it's something different, and I would suggest that each state, everyone, take a look at that and research your state constitutions from the very first one forward, not just the latest. Because if I've looked at anything, you know, like the 1963, which is the current constitution in effect for that corporate state of, there's no mention of it. So you've got to go back further. So with that, I yield.
If I may, I'd like to point, can you all hear me?
Yes, can clear.
Okay, very good. The constables thing, are a lot of more modern statutes and things like to indicate that constables are a privilege that flows from the top down that can be regulated. And it's not. It's grassroots bottom up, as the links to the Norman Conquest documents provide. But shifting gears slightly, the constables are their empowerment is explained in Lewis, the document that's in the invitation list that talks about notice of the formation of responsibly self-governing communities. This is how, by presenting that document to local de factos, Michael, that shows that our town constables have the right to use whatever force is necessary to keep the peace within their township community, as they define the peace, not as the outside statutes define the peace. And it goes on to say, if you have any objections to our maintaining the peace in this manner, please inform us of your objections in a timely manner and do so clearly, citing specific authority in law. Otherwise, we're going to presume that we do have this authority. And see, at that point, they probably won't respond. If they do, well, you'll have a debate, and I'm online. I can be called into phone conferences to go head-to-head with these people if you need me. But by sending this document to these people, preferably print it out and hand it to them, slap it on their desk in front of witnesses, okay? It takes the power away from them. At that point, you no longer need to live in fear of being prosecuted for forming your responsibly self-governing community and claiming the executive power. You're subject to judicial review by your precinct captain, your justice of the peace judicial officer at the precinct level. But as far as executive functions, this is my territory. I'm the town constable here. You stay out of here unless you got a real good reason to come in, and if you do, unless you got my permission. The common law, the town constable is a common law monarch for that jurisdiction, and he's got the authority to go to war against anybody that trespasses into his township jurisdiction. That's the way it existed back prior to the Norman Conquest, and I've got citations from reputable sources saying that the American county and everything under it, which is the precincts and the counties, are clearly based upon the Anglo-Saxon model that was in existence prior to the Norman Conquest. So this is the model that is part of constitutional America. This is how the power is decentralized through the 6th and the 7th Amendments to the federal Constitution. And if we hit them with these documents, their lawyers will break a sweat. They'll start blinking and babbling like idiots. And at that point, the brass ring is within our grasp. So, please, take a look at that notice of formation of responsible self-governing communities like Lewis has got up on the webpage right now. Thank you, Lewis, or on the screen share. And comprehend the empowerment that's in that document once you shove that document in the face of local de factos that might decide they want to prosecute you for simulating legal process or some kind of gobbledygook like that. Anyway, thank you for raising the point. I yield.
With that said, Charles, it's actually 7 p.m. Straight up at this point. Would you like to make a some type of a concluding statement on the first portion of the call?
Yeah, thank you, Lewis. And yes, on a slightly side note briefly here, Abraham and I were talking a little bit. Maybe we can just verbally say that we're concluding the official business portion of the meeting here and not turn off the recording and just let it go. Would that be okay with you, Lewis?
Oh, I don't have no problem of mine. Your call.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. I'll go ahead and launch into a closing statement here, and then we can put a wrap on the official business meeting. I think what I just touched on there about the notice of the formation of responsibly self-governing communities document is a real good focal point for us to end the official business meeting on, because at all levels, at our American national level and down to the grassroots of our townships and our precincts, we've got immense empowerment, but empowerment comes through accurate knowledge, kind of like what the Bible says. The people are lost for lack of knowledge, and this has been purposefully obscured for us. That's why they're pushing things like neighborhood watch communities at us, when they know we've got town constables and precinct-level justices of the peace written right into our constitutions. It's a constitutionally guaranteed right to form these self-governing communities, but they're presuming, they're encouraging us to go with the wimpy, defanged, probably unarmed, pacifist mode of local community organizing and stuff. It's not a responsibly self-governing community. It's a community that's dependent upon municipal judicial officers to tell us when we're doing good and when we're doing bad, and all that with usually without a jury. But if even they include a jury, it's a highly manipulated and bamboozled jury. So we need a paradigm shift away from the Roman Empire model of government. We need to get on with that quickly. Time is wasting. We are in a serious spiritual war zone here, and we need to come up to speed. I recognize a lot of this is really novel, unique, difficult to get minds around. So please take time, study the documents, communicate with me. My phone numbers are under the invitation document. I'm optimistic that we're going to be able to win this. We're going to be able to take America back. But it'll only happen if good people start coming up to speed on where our power is really at and not go off chasing red herrings that are designed to distract us from where our real common law empowerment's at. And at that point, I yield.
Okay, thank you. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and stop the screen sharing. Everything else will continue going until I believe that it fills. We did get something regarding limited space. So be mindful of that. We do want this call to be recorded. I don't know if it goes all the way through. Hopefully it still reserves the recording. So with that, I yield the floor. I will take my leave.
Lewis, before you go there, is there any way you could delete some of the older recordings? I've already got them downloaded and saved.
I will. What are they, like the first, what, 1, 2, 3, maybe?
Yeah, I've got all three of them downloaded. Go ahead and delete them all, please.
Will do. Good idea.
Thank you, Lewis.
Give us some more space there. All right. Have a good one, all.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like we've got some open discussion here. Scotty, hi. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, make sure you send those three recordings to me that you're going to delete.
Three.
Right, this is the fourth call I'm on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'd like to review them. In fact, I
missed... Scotty,
That link is in the... Go ahead.
As Lewis was going to say, the link is in the invitation email where the recordings are posted under constitutionalgov.us, our webpage.
Oh, okay. All right. And I also concur how they most of these shills are to controlled opposition. They only discuss, and very passionately, the problem, and they never do get to the solution. You said a lot I was discussing was not part of the solution. I beg to differ with that. If you get the bit larger perspective, there's solutions in there, and that's plural. That's not solution, okay? So we are on the same page with many aspects of things. I'm not well-spoken. However, can I bring up a point? I did put in the chat a couple of links. Should I review what's there for everybody?
Is it going to take very long?
No, 3 minutes. The first I put the Life Force video, the People for the People, the one that you watched and you recommended. And that's only one that's pretty recent. There's many before that are also just as amazing. If you like that, click on the website, the one YouTube channel. They try to keep it off of YouTube, but there's a little bit of content there. And then under that, I put where I learned, I spelt it wrong, about the HB7120. And that's the video there, and that links to also some other site, Minds or something, a really good site, way better than Facebook. And then there's the Kate Shimarani, Natural Nurse in a Toxic World. It's a live Facebook feed, and they kind of cut in with her because she has bad signal, but she discusses her notice of treason that she uses in the UK, and there's also the link for it in the comments somewhere. I don't have it in my memory because my computer died. And then from last night, I don't know if anybody on the call has ever heard of Penny Bradley. Has any? I guess it doesn't matter. She was live on a pirate radio, a really good station from Korea last night. That will help you get a little bit of the larger picture that I discussed that you thought isn't part of the solution, or actually you worded it not part of tonight's call, but if you get the bigger picture, it is. I'm all about solutions that are real, not fake solutions like sign a petition and march, like, you know, Al Sharpton's kind of solutions. Those don't work. I'm trying to actually provide real solutions, as I tried to advise that dude last week. Carl Lentz will get you in trouble, and unless you can see beyond that he doesn't know the difference between public and private, and he doesn't teach a lot of stuff because they got to him. It's that simple. So those are the links that I put in there now. The last one is, actually, I'll put it twice. There's a YouTube video. I watched it on another thing. It really was an amazing interview from Penny Bradley. I really suggest you also, if you like the
Hey, Scotty, I really hate to interrupt you because you're really on a roll there. But what you got to understand, and I think you're having trouble wrapping your mind around it, is that we have a solution that we're trying to get traction with. And with you diverting to other people's solutions, it's taken away from where we're committed and forcefully, you know, determined to try to bring up the solution that we're working with common law. So every time you go ahead and try to take the focus and bring it to another quadrant, you remove it from the quadrant where we're trying to stay focused on. And I thought I sent you a private text, to chill out on that. Even though it could be very good information, and we'll probably all benefit from it, but you got to be mindful that if we're playing basketball and you want to keep taking us back to soccer, we got a problem with that. So try to keep it in the basketball context and stop trying to bring us onto a soccer ball court. Is all I'm trying to say here. I yield. Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't get the private text. When was that? Today or was that another day?
Well, I must have missed it. I thought I sent it to you, but I guess I didn't send it correctly. It's a private text on this thing here.
Well, I disagree with that.
I'm sure the information you got is very useful and very valuable, but it's soccer, and it involves soccer technique. When we're on the basketball, we're trying to use basketball technique. Then you're going to have people playing soccer when they should be playing basketball.
I disagree with that analogy, brother. I disagree
entirely.
Well,
then go ahead and form your own radio show or your own show, and then you can play soccer all day long is all I'm saying.
I don't play soccer, brother. I'm about calling out the kills with false solutions.
It's an analogy.
That's what I do. And I try to learn from them also. Anyway, I don't want to argue with you or anything. However, I would suggest if you wanted to differ in, why not end the recording and then start it again so you have two, one that's the business part and one that's the afterwards? What would it hurt to just make two recordings?
That's what we just suggested. But try to keep it on basketball, please.
Anyway, I had meant to call you, but I had other issues. I had lost my phone. You had given out your phone number.
You get some time, please call me. I'd like to discuss a few things with you.
Anyway, I'm trying to work with you. I'm trying to work with you if you want me to
help out. I understand that, and I'm trying to work with you. So call me personally, and we can talk about all the soccer you want.
I don't talk about soccer. I don't do sports. Knock it off.
Listen, eggnog, it's an analogy. Expand your imagination a hair.
Okay, all right. Anyway, we're mostly on the same page, okay? And if
I understand. I know that.
Way off, just bring me back. That's all.
All right.
I can only do my best, okay? I
understand. Hey, you know I love you, man. We're both from New York. We're right at the same street.
I didn't know you were from New York. I didn't know that. No, I never knew that. Maybe that's why you can handle some of my harshness. I know I'm harsh. I'm also not well-spoken. But anyway,
well,
I don't mean to offend people. I'm only trying to stay on the page you're on.
So, you know, I'm in the same alley with you. It's just, you know, we're trying to play basketball. And stop kicking the ball around the court. Use your hands.
All right. All right. Point noted.
Okay, cool.
Bye.
Thank you. Yes, I need to thank Abraham for pointing out that I do think Scotty is diverting from our, or at least was, diverting from our general agenda of trying to promote self-governing communities that are firmly rooted in common law. We've all been watching the many of the other gurus for a long time, and I don't think there's anybody that comprehends common law, self-governing communities in any manner that's competitive with what we comprehend here. And with all due respect to Scotty and Autumn and the others that are referencing these other people that are doing good work in their own way, I like to believe their motives are pure, but they don't comprehend where the real horsepower is at. Like what I was talking about, neighborhood watch communities that people were referencing before, that's a distraction. If we're going to save America long term, we can't be putting our chips on the neighborhood watch communities. We need to be electing our own town constables under the mosaic and common law model of 10 responsibly self-governing households. That's where the horse... But yes, I yield.
Sorry to interrupt you, Charles, but I just wanted to clarify that, you know, we have a situation where people are demanding protection. They want their homes to be safe, and they want it now. We don't have time, unfortunately, to create a structure and elect constables and go through a big bunch of, you know, government paperwork and bureaucracy. In the long run, yeah, we need to do that. I'm in total agreement with you. But
Mike, maybe we might be able to find a way to streamline it where rather than go to one and then morph into the other, perhaps there's a way to streamline it where you can go right to the gold bar rather than go through silver and platinum, go straight to the gold. So what I'm saying is first understand the dynamic of what's involved and see if there's a mechanism, a way in which you can go straight to the maximum amount of authority rather than going through the middleman and get a minimal amount of authority. So let's explore that. That's why I said me and you should be on a think tank and try to really explore that very, very carefully. Why deal with a pea shooter when you can go straight to the grenade?
Yeah, I'm definitely all for a committee to investigate it and think tank, if you want to call it that. That's a good name. But right now, we don't have time. Antifa and BLM is threatening to
absolutely
do these
absolutely
nighttime, middle-of-the-night invasions of homes and protests of prominent conservative politicians and speakers and citizens. And, you know, we need to be able to resolve this now and respond. And unfortunately, we just don't have the time to formulate the structure that we all would like to see in place. I have total agreement with the structure and the idea that is being proposed. I do not oppose it. But what I am trying to say is that we just don't have the time, and we've got to do something now. And the idea of a neighborhood watch group is not what has been done in the past. For a lack of a better term, we named it that. That doesn't mean, though, that it's the same model as what has already been used in the past. I beg to differ that it's not. But anyways, I would love to hear anyone's comments. I yield.
May I please, Charles, here? Michael, you seem under the impression that there's a lot of time and energy involved in setting up the jurisdiction of a town constable and his 10 deputy constables, or 9.
Okay.
And
I will
probably put
up
today.
Hello?
Abraham.
Comment that you can probably do it in one day, Charles.
Yes. Try to be gentle with your whip there, Brother Abraham. Yes, I believe we can do this very quickly and efficiently. The office of town constable is presently vacant, Michael, in your local township communities, and there's well-settled process for filling vacant offices. It's the nature of de facto government that surrounds us, is anybody that claims to be an officer is presumed to be that officer unless somebody directly challenges him. Okay? And because the offices have been vacant for decades, there's probably nobody going to challenge you real quick if you just claim to be a peace officer, especially if we've got T-shirts and caps and badges printed up in advance. We could do that in quick and efficient manner. We don't need those. But when we present the responsibly self-governing communities document to the local de factos, at the same time, at that very same time, you could present a letter saying, by the way, I claim to be the town constable under 10% of precinct 104 in Charlotte County here. If you got any objection to that, please let me know within 10 days here, and I'll be glad to talk with you about the details of whether or not my claim's lawful. But if you don't respond voicing any objection, I'm going to presume that is a default and that you have no objection to me exercising all of the peace officer authority of a local town constable here. And see, at that point, we've got it. At least we've got 99%. Their lawyers would have to come at us really hot and hard to make us even have a hiccup in that. And if you look at what went down in Seattle and things like that, where they're defunding the police, they avoid talking about this common law rooted process, but it's what they're screaming for. They want the people to form their own self-governing communities. It's a vacuum that we're essentially being begged to step into, but they don't want to say it because that's going to take away their ability to pillage and plunder. But it's the natural solution that I believe will get very little resistance if we just try to exercise it. And downside, the worst case scenario is they'll say something that actually makes sense and makes us got to back off, and then we could go with the neighborhood watch or whatever. But there's no downside to it, and there's gold on the upside here. So all I'm trying to say is please consider carefully investing time and energy in doing the real deal, the common law, traditional process. It goes back to the time of Moses, 3,400 years. It's been tried and true. And I believe that is how we're going to save America at those very grassroots levels of the qualified electors and the town constables. I yield. And if I might, it can be done in very quick and efficient manner, if I didn't emphasize that enough. Again, the offices are vacant. If you go into county commissioners meetings, you can start introducing your associates as town constables. Ask your town constable to come on up and say and introduce himself and say the words, yes, I'm willing to serve as a town constable for 10% of Precinct 104 in Charlotte County here. And here's copies of my oath of office. I'd like to submit it into the county commissioner's record here and start creating a paper trail of your claiming this office with the notice that you want them to object in a timely manner if they're not, if they see any errors in what you're doing. See, this can be done in extremely quick and efficient manners, Michael, and I hope you can come to realize that. I yield.
May I?
Yep, Michael, yes.
Yeah, this is Mike. You know, I can't differ with you on that. I think if the office is open and it's available and the commissioners are willing to allow the office to be occupied, then by all means, let's do that. But even that process is something that's going to take, you know, considerable time considering the immediate situation we're in, as far as, you know, people wanting and needing protection. But if the office is not vacant, and there's a lot of background noise. Somebody's unmuted.
Yes, background noise.
I'll take care of it.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. So if it's not vacant, what do we do? I mean, are we going to simulate an office of constable and then wait for the charges to come flying in jail? And, you know, I personally am not ready to do that.
No. Mike said you give them every kind of notice and you afford them every kind of forethought as possible, and you draw out any reservation or hesitation or skepticism that they have. You draw it out with documents to make certain that, you know, that you engage them with the rationale as to whether or not it's de jure, whether or not it's credible, and if they can't respond to whether or not it's de jure and credible, by default it becomes credible.
Yeah, but you know as well as I do whether or not it is recognized and it's defaulted or not. They don't honor the law.
Yeah.
And the law does not matter to them. So whether it's defaulted or not is irrelevant, because you know they don't care about what the law is. That's why they're called de facto. That's why they're called tyranny. And the last thing we need to do is get tangled up and arrested.
Okay, very, very good question. So, Charles, one second there, Michael. So, Charles, if you serve them every notice and give them every ample time to respond accordingly, and you don't get the type of attraction that you believe you should in order for the office to be activated, right, and so that you presume, for lack of action, you presume to inherit that office, right, and then they come back at you, even though there was no reservation in advance, they wait for you to step in, and then they come and they tag you after you step in. How does that get handled? Good question.
Well, if I might, yes. It gets down to a numbers game, and I think what Michael opened with was a lot of concern about Antifa and BLM being the primary danger to the community, and I would respectfully point out that there's a counterbalancing danger to the community from the exact type of jackbooted Nazis that Michael's apprehensive about here. So that kind of parallels the split between Democrats and Republicans. You can see the Democrats reporting supporting BLM and Antifa, but at the same time, you can see the Republicans supporting the police and turning a blind eye to things like the murder of George Floyd there. So we're in the middle ground. We're striking a balance between the anarchy of the Democrats and BLM and Antifa versus the military police state that's coming at us from the misguided right wingers, and they're under. We've got the short answer is that if it goes that far to the point of actual the police state coming down on us and trying to arrest our people, that's an act of war. And they
already are arresting us, Charles.
You're correct. You're correct. But the question is, how do we position ourselves on the chessboard so that we can resist that with lawful force?
Amen. That's the question. That's the enigma we find ourselves in.
Okay. Well. At that point, we have to assume the chessboard is mapped out under constitutional law, which includes common law. Okay? That's how the chessboard is mapped out. That is where all of these judges, federal and state, are pledged to support that constitution. They're obligated to support our common law constable offices. They're obligated to do that. And if they don't do it, they're part of the criminal racketeering conspiracy that's addressed in the first document about constructive notice of treason. So we have the moral high ground and we have the legal lawful high ground, and what people on both sides will blink when we call them onto stage in the light of day. They only do their skullduggery when they can sneak around in the darkness, when there's no
May
public
I?
Forum. Yeah, go ahead. Are you?
Yeah. Brief interjection. They have basically suspended our Constitution with this declaration of emergency, shutting down businesses by force, threat of arrest, under duress. This is totally unconstitutional. They do it in daylight. They do it without any shame.
That's because... Thank you, Michael. That's because no lawful authority is challenging their presumed lawful authority to do that. There's nobody telling them that they have no lawful authority. There's nobody claiming a judicial office to say, well, I'm judicially revoking your executive order. Judicial power is higher than executive powers.
Well... I still say they commit their tyranny in broad daylight, without shame, both sides of the aisle, and in this COVID-19 scamdemic, we have been shown to be powerless. We, the people, have been powerless. The only power we have is when large numbers of us gather and we hold them accountable with large numbers when our voice is stronger than their microphone in the county commission room. And when our numbers outnumber the police who are threatening to remove us, then we get our voice heard. That's the only time when we outnumber them. I yield.
Sure. Thank you, Michael. And that is the forum, the chessboard, upon which we need to map the confrontations, and we are capable, as you have demonstrated, of bringing large numbers of people into those commissioners' meetings and courtrooms. What I am advocating is no change from that strategy. That's a strategy that you seem to have already embraced, and that's a good thing. All I'm talking about is those people that you're bringing in with you. Give them badges. Call them town constables. At that point, your horsepower automatically doubles.
If I may.
Scotty, are you going to take us off topic or are you part of self-governing communities here?
You're talking about BLM, and you're telling me I'm off topic?
No, I'm hoping that you're going to build on what we're talking about.
I'm trying to be on topic. I just wanted to point out something I said earlier that you claimed I was off topic. I talked about how all groups are infiltrated. That includes groups out there picketing. Now, let's just look at the facts. The Patriot Act is in effect. They did not negate the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act states you cannot protest with a mask on. Doesn't matter what your governor says, okay? They are setting up not only Black Lives Matter, but White Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter. They're setting these people up because they can ID them even with masks on, because they ID you through your eyes with this technology. They're getting people, and they're IDing them with this tracking and the COVID tracking and all this that are out there, and they're dividing who they know who are the paid advocates there that are paid to disrupt the gatherings and there to light fires when they're trying to gather peacefully. Now, the larger the gathering is, the more corruption there is. So all this is the fact. Any of these people that are joining these marches that you're saying we have to overpower the police, they are being targeted to later be taken out with these technologies. You cannot protest with a mask on, period. That is a fact. You can debate this all that you want. That is the fact. And there's actually other things, too. There's another thing from the UN. So I'm just pointing out some reality. The more that you gather and try and make a peaceful demonstration, the more it's going to be co-opted and used against you. The solution is writing it down, as I said earlier, and some of the other things. If you get to see the bigger picture, then you'll get to see how you can eliminate some of the distractions that we do seem to agree that a true advocate doesn't offer you a real solution, just talk about the problem endlessly. And they're very good at talking about the problem, just like a scammer is very good at gaining your trust. I yield there. I just wanted to incite that. I don't know if I was mixing soccer and base.
If I might, you mentioned the problem of infiltrators. The qualified elector certification process eliminates the problem of infiltration, because as soon as somebody raises a legitimate concern about an infiltrator, he's going to be examined and scrutinized real closely, and his qualified elector status will be revoked, and he won't be part of the self-governing community anymore. This is the common law methodology that was in existence in England prior to the Norman conquest of 1066. It's a tried and true process for communities of people that are trustworthy organizing and filtering out the people that are not trustworthy. The process here that we're talking about, it's ancient. It's tried and true. It's biblical Torah law. My God, the Pharisee Jews can't argue against this because it's biblical Torah law. We've got, again, profound empowerment at our fingertips. This empowerment can be accomplished in quick and efficient manners. And there was something more I was going to say in response to Michael, but I'm kind of forgetting what it is because I yield. Maybe I'll think of it in a minute.
May I?
Michael, yes, please.
Let's create a hypothetical scenario just for discussion purposes. Let's say tonight BLM and Antifa come to a local community and they protest a prominent patriot's home at 3 a.m. They have clubs. They are seen with AR-15s. They're throwing rocks at the house. That person tomorrow is going, that the owner of that home tomorrow, the next day, is going to be very shaken up and going to demand some form of protection. they called the police, but, you know, like normal, the police take 45 minutes to an hour to respond. In the meantime, the windows get broken. Small fire was started out in the yard. Bushes caught on fire. Perhaps even a car was caught on fire. This is the scenario that we're facing that could happen in the very, very near future. And again, we need to get people in the meeting house, in the assembly, in the town hall, to start discussing the future of our communities, our counties. And they will not be attracted with bureaucracy and voting and creating more government. They will be attracted to immediate remedy of their fellow citizens organized in time of need, just like our founders did. So that is the main root of my cause here tonight in this conference call, is to focus on the immediate need and the remedy to that need. And then later on, once we get traction, I think it would be appropriate then to start doing more of the election of constables and the bureaucracy part with, you know, documents and paperwork. But right now, the people want action and they want protection and they want a response to approaching tyranny. And whether that be BLM or Antifa or even a rogue Democrat leader in government.
Okay, Michael, in your hypothetical, Michael, what's next? In your hypothetical, so you've figured the problem out, so what do? You go door to door and you figure out, do you co-opt the local neighborhood watch? Do you take them over? Do you go door to door and put together your own local response team? Play the imaginary scenario out a little further for us, please. I'm curious.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great question. We're very fortunate where I'm at. We have a couple radio stations that offer advertising time very inexpensively. We've got a lot of networking groups.
What would you be advertising?
Well, we've already used our local radio stations in years past to organize town hall meetings, and we've been successful. We actually invited one speaker that was speaking on the crime of 9/11 several years ago, and we got a room at a library filled with almost 100 people just by spending $200 on a radio ad. 50 spots, 30 seconds each, was able to achieve us 100,
okay,
almost 100.
You can generate numbers into a meeting. You have an announcement that says something like, help protect and defend your community, establishing a security patrol of a rapid response personnel. People with security backgrounds, please respond. Find out how to protect your neighborhood. Come join the meeting. Something along those lines?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't have wrote
okay,
it better.
I think you'll get the numbers. You'll get the numbers. You'll get a lot of people responding to that, I think. And then the legitimacy of encountering people in the street, right? Because you probably saw the news, too. The Antifa or BLM was walking up this guy's street, and a white woman and a white man, they said that there was some rocks being thrown into their thing. So they came out with two, AR-15s or something like that. And they got arrested because, you know, this big mob of lunatics were coming up their street yapping and hollering. And the police were called, and the BLM and the Antifa. Are you familiar with the story?
Absolutely, very much so.
Okay, so then, you know, they got arrested. So how are you, I mean, you're going to have some kind of documentation, some kind of statute of writing, and some sort of an ID card or some sort of a brochure or something that, because a friend of mine is a constitutional law enforcement officer. In fact, we invented the position. There's six of them in the country. And they walk around fully documented in full police uniform. They've invented the position themselves. It's constitutionally correct. And still, even carrying all those documentations, the police give them a cease and desist order, and they got like 15 of them, and there's only like two or three of us. and we have to stop. Some of this involved life and death. So I'm curious, if you have an exchange develop, and you've got 10 or 15 of your people, say you got hats and T-shirts and some sort of ID badges, and you call yourself Rapid Response, right? And then you have to engage, and somebody is questioned to pull a trigger. See, it's always going to come down to that. You see, will you have lawful standing to be able to defend your personnel? Because I don't know what the answer is. I'm just asking the question. Because the threat of violence must be able to follow through with if it's to be effective. And if the follow through with violence is not going to happen because there's intimidation to the after effects and no real solid lawful grounds, what happens if the opposing team calls you out on that? What if part of their strategy is to get you to commit the first move so you end up in legal entanglements? So, yeah, there's a lot to consider.
Okay, if I may respond. Sure. That is an excellent question, and the scenario you draw is very probable, very likely. The instigation is likely, too, that they are going to provoke us so that, you know, we can be, you know, smeared in the media. We must do this very carefully, very methodically. And I'm not saying this.
Mike, make sure I'm on your team. That's all I say, because I'm very familiar with the legal issues because I've been in the security industry for 20 years. So make sure you keep me on your team.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. But what I'm saying is, you know, we don't necessarily have to be armed with firearms. You know, there are other methods that are lawful that we can use to repel violence. But you ask a great question, and it's not a question that you can answer quickly nor easily. And I'll just leave it at that. But we must do something to address the approaching tyranny, whether it be from rogue elements of society or rogue elements of government itself. We must be prepared to counter it in a way that seeks peace and prevents violence. I yield.
Hey, Mike, I'm going to recommend somebody to you. He owns the Force Matrix Institute. He teaches a lot of the police unions the graduation of force. And when you escalate and to be able to have lawful grounds to escalate and to demonstrate that you went through a formality of meeting force with force head on before you graduated to the next level of force. His name is Ayub. I think it's A-Y-O-U-B, Ayub Massad. And he's probably the foremost authority on use of force. And I bet you, guy's very community-oriented. I bet you we can get a hold of that guy, tap him on the shoulder, and ask for his legal advice, since he's in that arena, and he provides a lot of information to a lot of the gun rights activists on when and where and in what conditions and how to handle the aftermath of an exchange between a lunatic and a lawful gun holder. Ayub Massad.
How are you spelling his last name?
Let me look him up real quick. And I bet you we could get a hold of this guy. Here it goes. There he is. Massad.
Okay, that's how I got it. Okay.
Yeah, and I bet you we can conference this fellow here. And he will give us all. He's probably the foremost authority in the entire nation on use of force. I've watched a lot of his videos, studied a lot of his materials. I'm entrenched in the security surveillance industry.
And your first name, I'm sorry?
Abraham. Abraham Duran in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah. Awesome.
You could call me a security nut.
Okay. Is that what you do out in Nevada?
Well, I used to be involved in surveillance and security and alarms and, you know, stuff like that for, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years.
Uh-huh.
All the big companies I worked for specialized in cameras, camera system design and installation.
That's interesting.
If I may?
I yield.
Thank you. Abraham. you referenced, I would like to compare notes with the gentleman that you referenced there. He does sound like a talented man, but I think we've already got all of the answers to how to use force in a lawful manner. I don't think we need to go searching out other gurus to figure out when it's appropriate to use force.
I've got a very valid point. Should the de facto get involved, you need to have somebody who understands how to navigate the de facto with masterful precision. And this guy is probably the best in the country. Should the de facto get involved and usurp our common law jurisdiction? It's never harmful to have too much of a good thing. Well, perhaps.
I'm sure your words are true, but I don't think that should distract us with moving forward with serious empowerment now, like it seems.
Absolutely.
Like maybe that. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that was the point on the table, basically, that Michael and I were kind of chewing on before you took us over to the other guru there.
Oh, okay. I must have done that thoughtlessly. I didn't think of it.
Well, it doesn't hurt to digress a little bit, but...
if I may, Charles, if I may?
Sure.
Sometimes, you know, specific issues... or sometimes specific, you know, information is good to crowdsource it, you know, just for the value of many minds being put together to achieve an answer. I think sometimes it is good to delegate, you know, and find those gurus out there that maybe not have a remedy source, but rather, you know, a piece of the response, a piece of the puzzle, you know, or a pixel of the big picture. And I think maybe that's what this gentleman, Ayubi Massad, might have is, you know, he might just have some information that we could use that might help us, you know, down the road and be very valuable to us. Not that we're trying to get another guru to, you know, provide us the solution, by no means, but I think sometimes we do need to consider, you know, crowdsourcing intel and you know, use other people to help us maybe achieve that. Am I speaking clearly? Am I making any sense?
Well, if I may,
yeah, I yield.
You're speaking clearly, but it sounds like you're trying to put together picture puzzle pieces when the picture I'm looking at is already together just fine.
Well, I will have to chew on that. That's I hear what you're saying, I will ponder it.
Well, I think the issue on the table between the two of us was the amount of time involved with going with the seriously grassroots empowerment of the common law town constables at the township level. You seem to still be attached to the notion that's going to take some time and some paperwork to put together. And I think Abraham mentioned at one point that we can do that in a day. And I would be inclined to agree with that. That might be
How could you do it in a day?
The office is vacant. You type up a letter, you send a letter to the local de factos telling them that you're claiming the office of town constable. You can do that in a day.
Yeah, but just because you can do it in a day, does it make it... you know, there's a group of people that formed a grand jury out in Colorado and did things that grand juries do, and they got charged with simulating a legal process, and they're in jail. Terry Trussell's another example. His case is even a better example because he was actually in the official office and was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And they still found him guilty of, I forget what his charge was, but it was bogus. And he died in jail. So...
What?
Go ahead, I yield.
I think what you're saying, Mike, is that if you're going to move, you might want to speak soft, but carry a big stick, and that big stick is having numbers behind you, lots of numbers. Is that right, Charles?
It sounds close. You know, statutes recognize the right of citizens' arrest.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, in that kind of a light, the law, the written law, is on our side. I think the essence of your complaint is, what about the secret evil cabal that's behind the scenes? What if they come out and accuse us of simulating legal process and railroad us off into jail, never to be seen again? Well, that scenario can only happen if we don't have the numbers of supporters and of enforcement officers. If we've got the numbers of supporters and enforcement officers, like the big crowd that you were talking about bringing in to the county commissioners meetings and stuff, you know, 30 people active in a county, they wouldn't get away with that kind of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe 10 town constables and 3 or 4 precinct captains, justice of the peace, judicial officers. And those offices can be filled within 3 or 4 days. Typing up the letters and mailing them should only take a day. I think I've got, the constructive notice of self-governing communities document is basically all the legal argument. All you need to do is type up a cover letter, say, "Hi, I'm Joe Blow. Please read the accompanying document about forming self-governing communities. Therein, please note it clearly says that town constables got the right to claim sovereign jurisdiction over 10% of any precinct that's already mapped out. Then I'm claiming that 10% right now. And if you got any objection to that, please notify me that within 10 days, or I will presume that you have consented to this." And at that point, within 10 days, you've got a default consent, and you can go walking into commissioners' meetings with a badge on without risk of being accused of simulating legal process, because you got a default from those jackbooted Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if
yeah.
Especially if you've got other people behind you, backing you up, doing it at the same time. And Mike, believe me,
you got to admit, it sounds good.
I'm sorry, Abraham, what did you say?
I said you got to admit, it sounds good. I've been following along with Charles for a good 5 years now, and it sounds really good to me, and I just can't wait to put this in action.
Yeah. I hear you. Well, I tell you what, we had a situation. We had an interesting situation one morning at a county commission meeting, and we had a lot of people in the room that were in agreement with us, and the county president or the chairperson tried to tell us to stop clapping when we liked somebody's speech, and we refused to obey it. And, you know, if it had just been one or two of us that refused, we would have been, you know, trespassed or removed. But because it was pretty much the whole crowd, they lost control and they couldn't commit tyranny over us. And we continued to clap even after they said to not do it. So, you know, that's an example of how we can override their power with, you know, the theater of public opinion and the crowd and the numbers. We can override them, but
yeah, their power, Mike, their power is all perceived. The power Charles is talking about is all lawful. They got the perception of the power. That's why they call it de facto. De jure is the real power, and we would actually claim on that. So that gives us a tremendous amount more standing. I can't wait to see this happen in real time. Would people hurry up so we could try out an experiment or two?
Well, we're going to check out the Florida Constitution regarding constable and find out what it says, and we'll find out if our local county has vacant positions. And if we do, I'm assuming we do, we will pursue filling them.
That would be worth flying out to Florida for. You pick the confrontation. Me and Charles will organize the facts and make certain it all fits within purview, and we'll try to fly everybody down there, and we'll do an experiment.
Well, we certainly have the perfect venue for it, and we have a little micro community here with all the bells and whistles that a big city has. So, we've got a couple radio stations.
Maybe we can fill up the meeting room. We can fill up after the experiment, and it goes successful. It's all videotaped. Launch that online. And then we could fill up your meeting room with 1,000 people and then do the next experiment on a larger scale. And before you know it,
uh-huh.
2 minutes after that, we take the country back.
If I may?
I yield.
Me too. I yield. Go ahead, Scotty. All yours. Kick the ball around.
With my head or with my feet?
I hope your head.
You made a couple of good points. It actually sounded really good what Charles was saying, too. I really got to hand it to him. And I want to point out, that was one of the strongest things, what the other gentleman, I think Mike was your name, you had 30 people in the room that they couldn't control you. It was about 30, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that same, yeah, it's very hard to find 30 people like that. Once you get to, like, 35, that's where it seems where the corruption comes in. And never have I seen, although last night on that Jaffe call with Penny Bradley, they seemed to take care of that troll pretty good. But I wasn't on the YouTube where that troll was. But Carl Lentz's chat was nothing like Charles's chat that was filled with rude people disrupting you. Carl Lentz's people immediately knew not to feed the trolls, to get them out. We would never, that was the strongest thing. As I said, there are a lot of very positive things about Carl Lentz. I still retain my friendship with him today. I do not speak bad of him. The Carl Lentz group, when I was in it, we took no BS from anyone. We self-controlled who was there. Just like you're doing, like Charles, with the with the word you said before, I can't think of words. You know what I'm talking about. That it's very hard to find a group that's that so together that they all know immediately this dude's trouble, that dude, and they get out the disruptors. So what you had there with those 30 people is very hard to come by. Try doing that with 1,000 people. You won't be able to have that kind of control. It might even be difficult with 100. So a lot of smaller groups of 30 or 10 that we actually can weed out the detractors and the paid instigators and the propaganda to actually focus on whatever we're trying to focus on. So, yes, it is possible, but it's reliant upon us being so tight-knit that we don't allow infiltrators in because we're not fools. We're just simply, we've been there, we've done that. So I yield. I just wanted to comment some positive things that hopefully were on point. I yield.
Amen. Well said. I agree.
If I might.
Yes.
Can you hear me? All right. Michael, I think you referenced if the office of town constable is vacant, that you would investigate moving into it?
Yes, yes.
In Texas here, they do have constables. One of the few states that actually has them, and maybe Florida is similar, but they've got countywide constables. One constable for the whole county, one justice of the peace, judicial officer, precinct level. They call it for the whole county. And so even if they've got some sock puppet in there claiming to be a town constable, he's probably not, in fact, I'll guarantee he's not leading a responsibly self-governing township community like is his duty. And so he needs to have 10% of one of the precincts that are already mapped out in order for him to be a legitimate town constable. He's probably a countywide constable or something like what they're doing here in Texas. Anyway, even if there is some occupant, it would be good to confront them. We might confront the county attorney. It's hard to say where the center of gravity is. If you do have somebody there filling the office of local town constable, he's probably got the mentality of the average cop. Okay. And that's not where the real power and decision-making authority will be here. It'll probably either be in judicial officers or the county commissioners, or more precisely, the county attorney, the county council. Those are the ones where they are the ones that decide what is lawful and what is not lawful for the county to do. Is the county council, the county attorney.
They decide what is legal, rather.
Well, they merge the terms, and there is some ground for merging it. To go to your main point there, they're talking about within the Roman Empire municipal system is what they're referencing, usually with that term legal. But we're talking about higher lawful authority. I don't know if you heard me talk before, but that Seventh Amendment clearly indicates a body of higher law. The Supreme Court of the United States and the other courts have all kinds of admiralty, maritime, and equity jurisdiction that's lower level law. But once we try facts by juries, then that catapults everything to the higher system of law known as the rules of the common law. And that jury trial process is our trump card at the local level, too. We can assemble juries. If you've got 12 people, you say you've got 30 people. If you've got 12 people that are willing to sign on to jury verdicts regarding a few of these issues, then you're going to drive them up a tree. They will be panicking. Their steam will be coming out of their ears. I just encourage you to, please, yes, investigate whether or not there is an office of constable in your county, and if so, if it's occupied or not occupied under their Roman civil municipal scheme of things. But at the same time, please, as quickly as possible, get that constructive notice of formation of self-governing communities out to everybody in a position of authority in your county and your local city, so that at that point you've got a foundation for talking about this more serious common law empowerment. Does that make sense? Michael? Anybody? Is anybody here?
Yeah, it makes absolute sense to me. Abraham.
Okay. Thank you, Abraham, for saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, Charles. I had to step away for a moment. But from what I heard, I agree, yes.
So, Mike, we're getting very close to an experiment down there.
Yeah, come Monday.
Interesting. Hey, Mike, you know what's interesting is that, let's say in a month or two from now, we conduct a little pilot, an experiment, right? And it goes well. It's all videotaped and it's fed up to the internet. And you announce that shit everywhere. All of a sudden, all the other groups are going to realize, hey, there's one little new group to the scene that got some real traction. In the little time that they've been up and running, they were able to pull off an experiment in Florida, and it looks like they're going all the way. Boom, now you got hundreds of thousands of people all over the country in Florida.
Well, what has been the case in your local areas, gentlemen, that have been involved with
well,
Charles?
Me and Charles have been moving around a lot. I've moved around too many times in the last, I don't know, 2 years or 3 years to get any traction or gravity on anything. Charles moved around a bit, too.
Well, this is Right. I've been doing some activism here locally. I got involved with a CPS case where CPS stole some kids, and I had the groundwork laid for taking the whole county back. But then the people I was working with decided to work with the de factos, and I lost the wind out of my sails, and so it didn't go any further. I can't do this by myself. None of us can. But the where we can do things now in a meaningful manner that will produce results is the coronavirus complaint and jury verdict that I've outlined before. Michael, we need somebody to at least temporarily step into the superstate position of Georgia and Florida, southeast superstate there, and to suggest any needed changes to that jury verdict, and then go ahead and agree to affirm that they are at least verbally signing on to that on a recorded call such as this. Temporarily, pro tem, serving that office to speak for the people of the responsibly self-governing and fully informed people of the Southwest superstate of Florida and Georgia. Is that, that's a bold proposition. Are you up to anything like that?
Well, Mike, I've accepted it from Nevada, and I got like 10 states that I've got to oversee.
You have 10 states. What? I missed your last word.
Charles, sort of like the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve has chopped up the country, what is it, Charles, into 12 sections, right?
Yeah. The Federal Reserve has 12.
Charles has a mapping system that divides the country up equally by population. Nevada has, because, you know, Nevada has very low population and several other states have very low population. So you got like maybe 7 or 8 states, I think it is, to the super state with Nevada in it. And I'm claiming that one until we can start to flesh it all out. Charles got the one in Texas, and there's a, I think Lewis is going to take the one up there in Michigan. We still have like 5 or 6 super states that need to be counted by somebody. So you can take Florida, and we're all acting in temp until we can flesh out the thing. But it looks like you divide the country into 12 sections and equal populations.
Well, gentlemen, I'm going to have to leave the call right now. I've got a lot to chew on and think about, and I'm definitely interested. So I'll report back next week what I find out. And appreciate the call today. Hey, one other thing before I leave, I wanted to just put this out there. You know, the Thursday night National Assembly call was shut down after Roger left.
What was that? Why was that?
Well, it's never happened before, and that call has gone on till 3 and 4 in the morning at times. And more happens in that call after the call than during the call.
Would you say that was formal censorship?
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what it was, tyranny. Yeah. There's no
there's
excuse.
Nothing, there's nothing like stunting a free communication with some good old-fashioned tyranny, because that's what I was on that call. That's what it felt like to me. They just shut it down, and nobody had a chance to talk to each other. And that's Stasi. You know, that's right out of the Stasi handbook.
That's right. And we need to spread this message. It needs to be known far and wide what happened, and it's unacceptable.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Well, that's all I wanted to say. I wanted to end it with that as far as my participation. I appreciate everybody today on the call. It was an excellent call, and I'm glad.
Hey, Mike, we'd love to have you, and I'll be on the next plane out there as soon as we're ready.
Okay, sounds great, man. You all have a good night, okay?
All right, see you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Mike.
Bye-bye. Charles. Bye. You bet, Charles. Bye-bye.
You see, Charles, Mike saw it the same way. That was fascism all the way, shutting down that call like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mike's got some good instincts. I'm glad he's harmonious with us on those points.
Hey, Rich, in California, are you still with us? You awake? Autumn, I would love to hear how to lower my blood pressure with some magic herbs. Perhaps at a private phone call. Nikki's been on the call the whole time, but I haven't heard her perk up. Like turn the fire up a little bit. Maybe she'll start perking.
Well. I'm kind of thinking maybe if nobody's chomping at the bit for the microphone here, maybe we should just wind it up and make this a shorter call here tonight, Abraham. Do you know how to stop the recording here?
I have to look at it. 1 second. Okay, yeah, I'm stopping the recording.